And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
Bob and Ray, the microphones are on the air. Hit the broadcasting thing.
Thank you, Wilbur Conley, young squirt, who works for us. And hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Wilbur, will you come over here,
yes,
please? You did this the other night. You said, on the air, Bob and Ray, you know.
Yeah,
you sure don't have to. That goes over the air, you know.
No.
And people aren't supposed to hear you give it.
No,
the
it doesn't,
go-ahead.
Because I told the engineer.
Told him what?
Well, to have them clip it before it got to the tower, so that part wouldn't go on.
Oh, well, he can't do that, Wilbur. I mean, that's the first thing people
well,
hear.
Well, then I said, hit the airwaves, or I forget how I said it
and
now.
With all that broadcasting.
Hitting
stuff.
The broadcasting. The engineer was on the phone at the time telling the tower not to broadcast that part.
But wait, don't you realize, scientifically, that when you say something, it's very often heard by the person at home before I even hear you say it here?
Bob, did you want me to move this oatmeal out, or what? It's
if Ray isn't going to eat any more of it,
all right,
prove that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And could you get rubber heels on your shoes, Wilbur?
Yeah.
Would help. Never thought of that.
That's a good one. That's a good suggestion.
Tell you what, why don't we have a word from the American Telephone and Telegraph Company?
Come on.
Have a nice trip.
Don't forget to phone.
When you're away from home this summer, put long distance to work. Most people do. Like this couple.
Smell that mountain air. I'm so glad we telephoned ahead for reservations, George, aren't you?
Sure, dear.
Oh, George, now you're not worrying about business.
Well,
why not call the office then? Get it off your mind so you can enjoy yourself.
No doubt about it. Long distance helps you have a carefree vacation. Call now while long distance rates are lowest. Remember, whenever, wherever you go this summer, go first by long distance.
Hi, this is Johnny Braddock welcoming you to Sports-a-Phone. You all know the game. I'll start describing a famous sports figure. And as soon as you think you know who it is, call me Johnny Braddock here at Nembutal 73984. And the first correct answer will win a ticket. All right, now, when this sports figure was around...
The answer is Big John Boomer.
No, it's not.
What do you bet it is, you crook?
When this sports figure was 6 years old, he or she suffered a severe knuckle injury.
I think the sports figure is Knuckles Hardesty.
No, ma'am, it isn't. And the name of Knuckles Hardesty is unfamiliar to me. May I know who he is, ma'am?
What difference does it make if I don't win, you sap?
Well, because it's important I know all the figures in the sports firmament, ma'am.
Well, you can whistle for it, Braddock. I think you keep changing the story every time you think someone's going to guess the sports figure just to save a ticket.
Well, thank you for your many kindnesses, ma'am. And when this boy grew up, this boy from Manassa, he was involved in a heavyweight fight for the championship, where a long count was a big factor.
That's Jack Dempsey, the Manassa Mauler. And you can send the ticket to Mr. Peter Gatewell, 1610 Ocean Drive, Belt, Iowa.
And later, this sports figure from the same town as Jack Dempsey dreamed a dream as he watched Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney fight. He dreamed of baseball, and he joined the Brooklyn organization, where he was known as the Little Colonel.
Oh, that's Pee Wee Reese, the Little Colonel, who played shortstop for the Brooklyn Dodgers. After you tell me what the ticket's for, Johnny, send it to me, Edith Selwyn, care of E. Selwyn, 68 Arid Street, Far Rockaway, Long Island.
Well, the ticket's for the bicycle show up at the Tettle Auditorium, but you don't get it, Edith Selwyn, because you're wrong.
Thief.
Be that as it may, the boy who joined the Brooklyn organization was little, and indeed a colonel. But he was hired by the Brooklyn club as an armed bleacher guard. But that wasn't enough for him,
He changed his name, left the Brooklyn organization, and became known as the Splendid Splinter.
Well, that's got to be Ted Williams, famous for his valuable service to the Boston Red Sox.
And at that logging camp where this boy became a wood tester and was known as the Splendid Splinter for his ability to recognize prime lumber, this boy grew to manhood, 5 feet one, 106 pounds. And it was there he thought of horse racing, plunged into the horse race business, and over the years won many popular races. His first name is Eddie. And his last name begins with the letter A.
Eddie Arcaro.
No, Edwin Adamson, trainer of Shovel's Pick, winner of the Futurity, the Grand Stake, and the big one, the Run for Cover Free-for-All. And that's about all the time we have here. Be with us soon and guess again on Johnny Braddock's Sportsophone.
Well, sir, I think maybe now we ought to relax a little bit and just say hello to some of the folks in the audience, to all of you gathered here in the audience. And shuffling through the audience cards, Ray, I see that we have a Hollywood stuntman with us.
Oh, I wonder if he'd raise his hand and come on up.
Where is Don Minifee? Is he here?
Yeah.
Would you come up to our microphone, Don, and maybe we'll find out a little bit about stunt. Watch the top step there, about stuntman. Don, or Mr. Minifee, if I may call you that.
Sure.
I see you're working on some sort of diagram there.
Well, I'm working in a Marin Park Kettle movie, Fun Takes a Holiday, where I'm supposed to roll down a hillside and fall into a water trough.
Uh-huh. You're a little bit nervous, are you? First time on the air? Or you're more used to cameras, I imagine.
Well, I'm mostly.
Well, what are you doing, mapping out the route of your fall, or what?
Hmm?
With this paper and pencil, diagram.
Yeah. Well, they see, you got to know what the hill's like, being very careful about gullies, scrub brush, turf depressions.
How about mesquite?
No, not too much of a problem. Mm-hmm. Mesquite wouldn't slow me up at all. I'd roll right over that stuff. It's only the solid vegetation that could change the direction of my fall.
Well, I guess the idea is to hit the water trough on the very first try, huh?
Well, I'd like to be able to hit the trough on the first take. Yeah, it would please me, and it would save a lot of film, too.
Uh-huh. Well, Don...
Call me Mr. Minifee. The more I think about that, I'd rather you call me Mr. Minifee. I feel that it sort of gives me stature in the film community.
All right, Don.
Well,
now, I suppose you're wearing quite a bit of padding for the role that... When you take that roll down the hill, aren't you?
Yeah, well, see, I'm wearing about 130 pounds of padding under my clothes.
Right now you are.
Mm.
Makes you look bulky.
Yeah, but that can't be helped. I'd rather be safe than sorry. Now, the stuffing is made up of rolls of Kapok tied down with twine.
Not everywhere.
No, I need a certain amount of freedom when I do a stunt. Twine is just tied here and there.
Well, now, Mr. Minifee, with all that stuffing you have to wear, 130 pounds of it, You certainly do look bulky. Isn't there always a problem when you're filming a picture?
Well, first off, I'm not filming the picture. See, the cinematographer is I.W. Schreiber. And, yes, it's a problem looking bulky.
Well, then what we'll see on the screen is a very big man rolling down a hill into a water trough, and no questions asked.
No, that's about it. See, I don't want to get hurt or anything like it.
Well, incidentally, what's the scene all about?
Well, it isn't much. A guy comes up behind me and gives me a shove, and down the hill I go. It doesn't have much meaning in the picture, but I do what I'm told.
Is that the only stunt you have to do in the picture?
Well, if I hit the water trough on the first try, I'm supposed to run back up the hill and have a fight with the guy who shoved me, and then get pushed off the hill again.
And hit the water trough again?
No, solid ground will be good enough the second time. The director said that.
You'll be wearing the Kapok padding, so it won't...
And I'll roll with the fall, too. You see, I can take care of myself. Years of gymnastics have helped me.
Mr. Minifee, what was the first picture in which you did a stunt?
Oh, I don't remember the name, but in it, Lou Ayers knocked me over a banister.
Well, you mean he pretended to knock you over a banister?
Well, what difference does it make whether or not I was actually hit? The idea is I went over the banister and I landed on a table.
That's true. Important thing was the fall. Was it successful?
Well, that Kapok is pretty good stuff. I know I wouldn't want to be without it. Well, I've got to go now.
I wonder, before you go, could I take a punch at you and just kind of see how you roll with the fall?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Don. Don?
What?
Mr. Minifee?
Mr. Minifee.
Mr. Menifee.
Don.
Wilbur. And Webley.
Can I have some help from the audience?
A couple of strong people from the audience. If you just help with that, sit right over that way.
Thank you very much.
Don Menifee, ladies and gentlemen. Hollywood stuntman. I didn't really find that hard.
I'm really glad I have it good. Well, it's time once again for the Bob and Ray Wonderland of Knowledge.
An outline of little-known and interesting facts that will give you pause
and make you think.
A mountain is a hard and rocky sand pile.
George Washington's ragged band of men were the most beautifully mannered soldiers of their day.
They were, in truth, a very continental army.
Recently, the general manager of a major league club paid a bonus baby $250,000 for signing with them.
And then the bonus baby bought the major league club and fired the general manager for misuse of funds.
Neanderthal men were quite adept at cheating.
The popular dance team of Carlos and Elaine are in real life father and son.
Do you know it takes Holland 10 days to dry out after a flood? And do you know that there is a group that plans to take the Empire State Building down and rebuild it in Grand Rapids, Michigan?
There is a tribe in Africa whose members can all run the 100-yard dash in less than 6 seconds.
The Imbalu. They practice by taking naps in lion country.
Taking the cotton out of a bottle of pills before using them is regarded as a sign of intelligence in some societies.
A franc note can be counterfeited on facial tissue.
There is a species of fish, 6 inches long, which chases sharks for hundreds of miles.
They are called fool fish.
A city, say Philadelphia, can now be wiped out in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, but when?
The island Maldoena, popularly known as the gateway to the east,
is actually the back door to the Pacific.
Salvador Dali owns a melted watch
with an eye in the middle.
Contrary to popular belief, Richard Arlen does not hold, nor has he ever held, a pilot's license.
All rocket firings will soon be held 10 seconds earlier
to cancel out those boring countdowns.
An ant colony stole a sports car in Quincy, Indiana.
A very tall basketball player in Dunstan Corners, Maine, fell over during an earthquake.
And finally, if you turn a pack of dogs loose in a museum, they'll probably tamper with the fossils.
And it takes very little time to say goodbye
from the Bob and Ray Wonderland of Knowledge. So, you know, we're a great nation for breaking records, such as racing speed records or record attendance at ball games. But there's one record that we've got to stop breaking, and that's the holiday safety record. On nearly all of our big summer holiday weekends, more people are killed and injured than the National Safety Council predicts. Now, if we all exercised more caution and common sense, we'd stop breaking records, and there would be a lot fewer accidents. This holiday weekend, do your part not to break the record. Drive safely, walk safely, and swim safely. And, of course, don't shoot off fireworks.
We'd like to thank Newsweek for the kind words they gave our show in this week's issue. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's a nice picture of you, Bob, and a quizzical one of me, I'd say. Wouldn't you?
I don't. Which one do you mean?
Well, this one here. It looks like I'm saying, what?
Well, anyway, it was a real great surprise and very
that's
kind thing.
July 6th issue of Newsweek. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow we'll be here at the same time. And what do we have lined up on our big billboard of features for tomorrow, Friday?
Tomorrow, Bob, we're going to have, we hope, the annual pancake run from here to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's always a great spectacle when the housewives run down the highway, flapping flip jars.
I think if we have time tomorrow, too, we're going to talk with a gorilla trainer. So it all looks like a jam-packed day.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next week, Flaming Bombadil will be here to do the great act that you've seen him perform so often on television.
A lot of people in the audience are wondering who Flaming
Bombadil
is.
It's a very good radio act.
See him. see him next week, we hope. Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network.